All right, everybody.
Not 30 minutes, just 15 minutes. Not Eeyore. You just did, I don't sound like Eeyore when I do it.
Oh,
I didn't do
all right.
No, I was just doing it quiet. That was quiet.
All right.
Welcome to Rated NA, episode number 123 for the website nerdappropriate.com. How you guys doing?
Oh, man.
Fantastic.
Oh, God. I'm just going to go ahead and intro. So today, we don't have a regular format podcast. We are going to air the Romance and Games, 4-Play Romance and Games panel from PAX Prime this year.
Yes.
I'm excited to show you guys all of that. It's Mylan's panel that she puts on that I enjoy going to, and she's here on the podcast. Hi, Mylan.
What?
Hi, you guys. I missed everybody so much. Yes.
Welcome. Welcome.
Hey, you guys.
So what have you been up to, Mylan?
So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of different things. I just finished reading Hillary's book for the second time.
Oh. Yay!
It's great. I'm really excited to at how close she is to being finished. And I can't wait till it's out so that everybody else can read it and see how awesome it is. And I've also been writing a lot and then making Hillary read my book. I think she mentioned a couple weeks ago that we're doing a writer's group. And so it's been really fun. It's a lot. I'm reading a lot. Which
awesome.
You would not think this. I know, it's awesome. Hillary's book is great, and Dave Hulegaard, who is the other member of our writers group, his stuff is really great too. And then Hillary and I have something kind of fun and new that we're working on. We're joining forces to start a company.
What?
Yes. So we've been joining forces. So we just have decided to make it a little more official. We started basically by putting together some panels, which this is one of them.
This right here.
And
this is one of them.
Keep going. That was a bad joke.
Are you
going
to cut that?
No. I leave my bad jokes.
We're keeping that.
Yeah. yeah. So this is one of them. And so we have a lot of really exciting, interesting things on tap. I'll let her tell you a little more about it when she gets around to her turn.
Cool.
Oh.
That's exciting.
Nice, Mylan. Nice.
Well, I guess that's a good segue to Hillary then.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. So,
hi, Hillary.
Hi. So today is a day. A good day.
Hey, everyone.
Yes, today is the day. So I've been working with Mylan, as she's been talking about, working on this new business.
I feel like this is a
ours.
Fucking riddle. What is going on?
Yeah.
So I think what it is that it's at such an early stage that we have a vision of where it is and where it's going to be, but it's like we don't want to commit to something
okay.
and then have our stories change.
Okay. Basically, here's the deal. We have a name. It's Tonic Industries, and
boom.
It's here for a lot of different things. And we're going to be doing consulting. We're going to be doing writing. We're eventually going to start publishing books as well. So there are a lot of different parts of it, but this is in the very, like Hillary said, we're in the very early stages of it. So
that's exciting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
It's really cool. So we've been working on that and putting together kind of like the brand stuff behind the scenes, all the good stuff, mm-hmm. and building a website and doing all that stuff. So we're going to be announcing that soon. And then what else have I been doing? Oh, I have an update. I'm 100% consultant now. So I'm 100% freelance at BioWare, at this other company that I work for, and now at Tonic Industries.
Awesome.
So, yay. Welcome to the fold.
That's exciting.
So it is definitely not too dangerous to go alone. And that's what I've been doing. Uh-huh. See, I didn't forget it this time, Matt.
Did you inspire yourself to go alone?
I did. It is not too dangerous. And it's actually really cool. So I would encourage anyone who has an idea and think that they could pioneer and go blaze that trail by themselves, they should totally do that.
Absolutely. And we're doing that panel again at Geek Girl Con in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be at GeekGirlCon, you should come hear us talk about how fun it is to be freelance.
Yes, and how to overcome some of the obstacles. But yeah, and then I've been reading a lot, which is great. So I've been reading Mylan's book and David Hulgard's book. And yeah, just it's been really, really cool. I feel like I'm working on so many awesomely creative projects right now that it's kind of amazing, actually. So who would have thought? And well, yeah, so that's what's been going on. What's going on with you, Matt?
Hey, Ash is last.
used to it.
Yeah, right. I go last every podcast.
I mean in life.
Well, yeah.
Aww.
Clearly. I don't know. What have I been doing? It's a lot build up to it. That was anticlimactic. Yeah, I'm doing anything. No,
should be like the Eeyore podcast.
This is the Eeyore podcast?
Well, the Eeyore episode.
I think it's because we're recording on a different day.
No, we're not.
I know. I feel this like the whole thing is super weird, right?
It's not. This is totally right. Normal.
Oh, yeah. Same. Hey, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
There's right. Cartoons on and stuff. What?
That doesn't exist anymore, does it? Saturday morning cartoons.
No.
It really should.
It kind of doesn't, though.
You can have cartoons anytime you want now.
Yeah, it's true. Cartoon Network. That would have been dangerous when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was dangerous when I was like 16. I watched The Hobbit for the first time.
Oh, it's good, right?
It was good. I mean, it's like... It just seems... Honestly, it's like it seems like he's dragging out three movies out of the book. Like, that probably doesn't need to be dragged out to three movies.
Yeah. There were some scenes that went on forever.
It kind
I'm
of has
to
no
out
end.
How you spell good.
Good. It's like G-O-O-U-O-O-D or something.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
No problem.
Making a note of that.
It had no real end, it felt like. It kind of just stopped. Like, there was no actual resolution at the end of the movie because it's not, there's no resolution at one third of the way through the book. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, hey, that was 3 hours of your life. We'll see you again in a couple years. And you're like, okay. It's weird.
Yeah, it definitely felt a little bit strange. And like the whole beginning was just kind of ouch.
I mean, I love the guy who plays Bilbo. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's like Watson in the BBC Sherlock series, I believe. And he's in the Office British series, I believe, as well, possibly, and a few other things. But he's awesome. You know, it's cool. The cast is good. And it looks a little weird, too, because it's that I realized halfway through he did that the double frame rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes off looking like
not
so
good.
Polished. It looks not real. Like it looks almost fake. It gives that weird like what's the valley? The uncanny valley. I almost said hidden valley, which is a dressing.
That's, yeah, ranch.
And has
delicious.
To do with
it is delicious.
Delicious sauce.
Animation. And I haven't been playing games really. Not too much. I've got to get back into Dragon Age, but I haven't had a chance last week. So,
no spoilers.
I mean, you could keep spoiling it, but it's just you're going to get further ahead than I'm actually playing at the moment. So,
Have you picked up GTA 5 yet?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No, I won't probably.
Mm.
I'm not really like every time I try, I always think I like Grand Theft Auto and then I pick it up and I play for like 10 hours and I'm like, I hate this. It's just the only Rockstar game I ever really loved was Red Dead. And then beyond that, I've never really gotten super into their games. And even Red Dead, like a third of the way through Mexico, I wanted to. We'll move
drink
on.
The water.
Yes.
Force yourself to shit all over yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Ouch, poopy.
Oh my god.
What did you just say, Hillary? No, I want to hear that one clearer.
Something to do with poopy.
Nothing. It's a callback of something that we shouldn't be calling back to.
That's what I was hoping for.
I feel like I have a lot of new ringtones floating around in this podcast.
Probably.
I feel like
Hillary saying
I feel like
that.
We're all laughing at jokes that no one actually got to hear.
I know, it's really bad. It's really
we're sorry, everyone.
So okay,
this is the
Inside everybody
joke
listening.
Podcast.
That's right. We can't tell you why these things are funny, so just listen awkwardly until we get back to something you might find interesting.
I just love, not that we're recording at a different time, but I love it when we record not in the morning because Ash is a completely different person while we're podcasting, and it's always amazing to me.
Oh, he is so grouchy right now.
It's like kind of like a drained. Someone. It's like a drain.
I have such rage right now. I can't even explain.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's pure amazing. Yeah. I love it. So talk, Ash. It's your turn.
Like, I kind of feel like this is like, I just, know, just like one of those days where you're just like, you feel like if someone came to the door, you'd hit him with a phone book in the face kind of days. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've been, let's talk about fun stuff. I played GTA 5 online, which is actually really cool.
You actually got to play?
Yeah, they patched it just the other day, and it's pretty amazing what they did, actually. They have a lot of small cloud servers set up, and you run around with like about, you know, usually about 10 to 20 strangers or your friends or whatever on the whole open world map, and there's a bunch of different challenges and stuff set up, and you can pretty much go anywhere and do anything, and you get a character and experience points and money, and you know, you can buy apartments and houses, and it really is just, you know, like it sounds, it's an open world GTA where you can run around and
so
just kind of cause chaos. Yeah, there's tons of different missions. Yeah. There's you can go in and, you know, do PvP type stuff or go skydiving and go in different races, and it's just it's pretty awesome. They set it up pretty well. You can golf, yeah, and play tennis.
The weirdest.
Go jet skiing. It's just like an open virtual world.
Hey, you know that stuff you could do? You can do it in a game now.
Yeah. Well, the only difference is everyone in this game is a total sociopath. So like you'll be walking across the street and someone will just come up and club you with a bat. And you're like, oh, okay. So it's not exactly like real life unless you're in Chicago.
I would have rolled with Detroit. Chicago's totally doable, though.
See, what else?
What other cities can we shit on in this nation?
Oh, no. I mean, Chicago's in a bad place right now. I sat down the other day, I want to say Sunday morning, and my wife and I are like, oh, let's watch some TV. And I turned on the first episode of Breaking Bad, and we watched a season and a half in one sitting.
Wow.
So it is that good. I wasn't expecting to like it as much. You know, obviously, it's like super hyped right now because it just ended. But I was like, I'm just going to see what the pilot's like, and holy shit, like it really, really is a pretty phenomenal show.
It'd be amazing if you reviewed season one of Breaking Bad right now as if no one had seen Breaking Bad. You guys should check out the show Breaking Bad.
You know, there's a show with these guys. It's awesome.
You know, apparently Miley Cyrus sort of did that. She was, I think it was in her, what's she on the cover of right now? Vanity Fair.
Maybe.
And she was talking about how she's trying to watch season one and she can't get past all the coughing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's just like
coughing.
Well, that's like all she could talk about on the show was that.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Oh, the horror.
Right?
she's a magical little creature, that Miley Cyrus. Ugh. But other than that, you know, it's just going on. It's been long.
Oh, we should say you and I did Star Wars Reads Day.
We did.
At a record store here with my wife and your wife. It was good. Some kids came out. Melissa read a bunch of Star Wars books and did a bunch of like crafts and some other things, and it was fun.
Ate pretzels covered with lightsaber goo.
I think they were pretzels covered with chocolate that were meant to be lightsabers. Would probably be how you put that sentence.
That's right.
I don't know if lightsabers put off goo.
You know, it's not covered in goo.
What kind of horrible Jedi would you be if you had a lightsaber that just output goo? Right, so without further delay, here is the Romance and Games panel, moderated by Sean Baptiste, and the panelists are Mylan, Barrows on our podcast currently, Hillary, Melissa and Anna from Press to Reset and Reset Transmission, as well as Karen and Patrick Weeks from BioWare. So enjoy.
Good evening, everybody. Play Romance and Games panel. I'm Sean Baptiste, and I think before anything, let's just get right into this and have this this amazing panel introduce themselves. That's not a bad start.
Yeah,
it's good.
Really good.
My name is Patrick Weeks. I'm a writer at BioWare. And I've written for, Tally, Garrus, Miranda. Boardwalk for Man's Book, Mara and the Shadow Broker, and Trainer in Mass Effect 3. And my book, available for purchase in a few weeks.
Okay. Hi, I'm Karen Weeks. I also work at BioWare. I'm the lead editor for Montreal and Edmonton Studios. So I try and make the romance work. It sounds like they were written by a bunch of different people than they were. So I have worked on Dragon Age Origins, Mass Effect 2, Dragon Age 2, Mass Effect 3, working on Dragon Age Inquisitions now, and Sonic Chronicles. And you all are awesome for waiting out there for so long to come see us, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Anna Schumann, and I do writing, and I do a podcast for Reset Transmission. The website is Press to Reset, and I don't work at BioWare, unfortunately.
Melissa Kay, I also write and contribute at PressReset.com. I don't work at BioWare, but I love video games and games with romance in them, so that's why I'm here. And I have to make a note that I also do the podcast Reset Transmission with Nate Hales, who's right here in the front row.
So I think to warm it up, to start it up, let's talk with the first question. I think everybody can answer this because it's a fairly quick one. What is a character you've sort of fallen in love with, and what aspects of that character made you fall in love with them? Let's see, we'll start here.
One character that I really, really like is Cade Malenko from Mass Effect. He is Canadian like myself, and he has a really, really sexy voice. Those are basically the two. And he's well written, even though some people don't think so. But he's very valuable. You should choose him over Ashley in some of your games.
This is a tough question because over the years of playing video games, I've fallen in love with, I don't know, probably several hundred video game characters. But I think right now, my one true love is Garrus. Because I mean, I never thought I was going to fall in love with an alien before, but, you know, Garrus is just so trustworthy and loyal, and he's completely badass, and he's got a sexy butt, so, you know.
Well, I'm kind of biased, I have to admit, but actually I think the character I fall in love with the most is romance, ladies and gentlemen. Romance. Okay. Comm specialist Samantha Trainor.
she's funny and she's a little bit insecure and babbling the way I'm insecure and babbling right now. And she was fun and she's intellectual and she's sassy and I just loved all of those things. And Alex Morgan is amazing. Yeah, so her acting and what she brought to the voice was fantastic. So, Trainer.
I think mine is similar. I'm going to go with My Love Was Tally. And I think, again, it's the voice. It's absolutely, for me, the voice. It's the accent. It's the little hesitance. It's being able to hear the little inhale of breath before she says something that's important to her. It's all of that. It's the same reason that, you know, I fell in love with Trainer or Garrus or, God, I'm blanking on the name, Annika in Planescape Torment. That's okay. That was old school gamers are good. But yeah, it's the voice for me.
I think I'm going to do something a little bit different and say one that I've just recently discovered. So I opened up the copy of Skyrim that I had. So I've been really playing for hours and hours and hours and figured out that there's a character called Beltis. And a companion that I completely overlooked the last time. And he's got some really sexy eye makeup going on. So I have to say, like, I'm digging the eye makeup.
Any character in a video game is essentially just ones and zeros. How do you write a character that is possible for you to fall in love with? Like, how do you project something onto them that that resonates with people? We'll go in the middle. We'll start in the middle. Yes, Patrick.
Emotional manipulation. Which sounds bad, but that's kind of why you bought the game. Because you want us to make you feel something. I wrote a book that was about heists and cons, and one of the most important parts of any con, any attempt to manipulate, is you don't con someone by making them distrust you. And you don't con someone by asking them to trust you, because people are hesitant to do that. You con them by showing that you trust them first. And I think that having a character who starts out putting their faith in you in some capacity, that's something we're so hesitant to do in real life, that having someone in a game say, Shepard, I'm trusting you with this. This is important to me, and I don't know if it can happen, but please, can you do it, and I trust whatever you do, that is huge. And that's such a way to get someone attached and get someone emotionally engaged with you.
Karen.
Yeah, I was just going to build on that a little more clinically. I mean, the way that we create these characters, where we work at BioWare, it's a huge team of people. You know, we sort of are in charge of the work part, and then we're working with the people who are putting the character faces together, and they're, you know, figuring out, you know, the look of someone who's attractive to you and giving you those looks, you know, and we put all that together, and the cinematic artists, like the Garrus and the Tango, that was a whole fleet of people going to make this hot and awesome. And it's, you know, all of us working together and kind of having discussions about what does that mean, because that's different things for different people, and sort of coming to a group consensus on, okay, this is the way we're going to try and do this.
Well, I would say too, so I wrote a text-based game that has illustrations, but I don't have the benefit of voice
sectors for animation. And so I kind of did something like what Patrick was talking about, making the character ugly first. And I think that when they project those emotions onto me, you start to feel something for them. And if you have someone who is interested in you and thinks you're capable and strong and smart, then, you know, how could you not help that, right?
If I can build on that, I think that in some ways that's very similar. One of the most powerful tools we have, we can make combat work just, you know, in engine, but to make emotional engagement, we have to leverage the power of the player. We have to leverage the power of a player who wants to buy in emotionally to a relationship. And I think, you know, especially in your games, you do such a fantastic job with that. And you do that with a picture that is there and it's present, and it's enough for the people to infer everything else. You see one picture and now you can infer the sexy bartender who's leaning over, he's pouring the drinks, he's giving you the little knowing smile that, you know, that gets things moving. And all of a sudden that is something that the reader or the player has done themselves. Some of Garrus came from conversations between me and Karen. I mean, those were like, well, I don't know what... It's like, what? Okay.
I had to clean them up a lot. Well, yes. Not that kind of cleaning up. You are bad people, all of you. No, we had to make them sound more coherent.
Yeah,
was
okay, fine. But trainers, suck it up, princess. That was directly back and forth between us. And there were so many things that were like, I don't know quite what to say here. It was like that time when you and I were talking, and it was, well, if I just used that. I bet this would sound much sexier coming out of Alex Wilton Regan or Ash Roka's voice.
Yeah, and I'd be editing along, and I'm like, wait a minute. I am, aren't you? Yeah. And I think as a player, you know, we look for the aspects that are real to us, you know. We look for stuff that either romances that we have had or that it's more fantastical, though, in a way, because you don't have to worry about being self-conscious or anything because you have an avatar that you're playing with. But, you know, you just really want to feel trusted and, like, you have a friend right there, and that really helps grow the romance, too.
I think it's also just to add that Anne and I often play the same games, and our tastes in the romantical characters are usually completely opposite. So it's not always possible in every game or even just in the novel when you're writing it, but taking into account that not you have one female specimen or one male specimen with like these physical traits and this one personality, that's not going to appeal to every single person. So.
And we never have to fight over men.
No.
So let's take it from the other angle. What do you look for in a character that makes you feel like they love you? I mean, again, we're talking about digital characters. What is it that makes you feel warm and tingly inside from something on your television set?
If they tell me I'm great.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't take much. I'm really strong and I'm capable. I think that. I really love those secret moments that are built into games. You know, you're watching a cutscene and you see a character that you're interested in give you a look or say something that can be interpreted, you know, maybe some subtext. You know, I like those secret moments that have been built in by writers that, you know, it's like real life and those are kind of sneaky and manipulative. And it works. But yeah, I like to feel like that
one thing for me just as a player. So going into Dragon Age 2, which I went into fairly blank slate fresh because I wanted to be unspoiled on it, but I had heard about Meryl, and I was totally romancing. I was going, oh, my little elephant is going to be so cute. And then somehow Isabella. And the thing is, Isabella was the one who made me want to do the dance. Isabella was the one where it was like, oh, this person will like me, and I would like them back, and it would be awesome, and it would be... But Isabella was, no, there's going to be a dance, there's going to be a seduction, there's going to be, are we, aren't we, is this serious, isn't it? There's going to be the back and forth, there's going to be the skin on skin and the slow pull away, and all the things that make it like, all the things that make you wonder, and the thrill of the hunt, and for me, that made it enough of a challenge that it... I don't know, that totally just...
Well, I mean, I think that's actually a really good point. I mean, you do want a little bit of a challenge. Like, if it just immediately happens, that's not really romance. That's...
Well, that's press A to marry.
Let me watch you play.
No.
Isabella, we're having your thing.
No, we're having... That was our us time.
That's fair. Oh, I'm sorry. Just giving him a hard time. That's fine. I think it's actually the little... With your friends or your family or your partner, it's those little kind of, like those goofy things. Somebody says something silly and then that becomes part of your lexicon. You know, you can say that random word and you two get it, and that's like your secret little thing that no matter what else is going on, those little shared moments like that. And I think that it kind of is built on what Hillary was saying. You know, they're just those little things. They're like, yeah, that's a really hard little thing and no one else in the world understands that. And no matter how nuts everything else is, we can. It's just us. That resonates.
Well, that's one really great thing about us. Your big torches are the last two mornings, right? So all of a sudden, here you are and you're with other people, but nobody really gets me like he does. And there's something about that, you know, and I know that I can't push it too far because we have had to go back and say it before.
Okay, good. For me, not only, of course, everything else that everyone else has said, but for me, it's really about friendship. So that's why I love Garrus so much. You know, you start out being a friend, and then he became the romanceable option. And another good example of that is in Persona. You know, in the Persona series, you start out with all these different relationships with all these different people, and then eventually, if you progress in the relationship with these friends, they actually can turn into romanceable characters who you create a beautiful bond with. So, for me, it's all about starting as a friend and then working and growing at that friendship and becoming even deeper and then sprouting into romance.
For me, I play a lot of really weird, bizarre otome games, and so sometimes in those games, as a female player, the male romanceables are very, like, dominant, and you're a very weak character, which I find very frustrating, and you're just kind of, but I really enjoy when, but I also, on the opposite spectrum, I don't like the character to be kind of like with me and overly, like the romantic, wimpy guy. Like, I'm playing Everlove right now, and there's a prince, and he's very, like, whimsy and wants to run away, and very, I don't know, that doesn't do it for me. But it's like, if you're either, there's got to be a balance. You have to be, like, on equal ground, not one person being dominant.
Yeah, match your intelligence and
match your skill set. And
that's actually, I think another thing that I like is fun. I mean, I want to have fun with the person. And that's one thing when I was reading, reading Vampire Boyfriends, and actually Patrick and I were playing it together. So they, did you do that? Why did you go get me first? Whatever. But I was going down, and then there's this one branch where you go down, and I become like a crazy lady living with all the cats.
Oh, yeah.
That's and good. I love that. And it was just like, okay, this is awesome, because it's that bit of whimsy and a bit of fun, and it's, yeah, this is just kind of silly, and it feels like the fun parts of life. And I really love that.
I had sex until I died.
He was really proud of that.
I think characters that really make you
tapes that we're talking about. And I think that really hones in on the title of this kind of being foreplay. So, you know, you really have to have that, like, back and forth. And for me, obviously, I like the challenge, so if you make me work for it, I'm going to appreciate that.
And I think, okay, just to jump on that a little bit, I think that one of the... I didn't mean that one sexy. Other stuff, maybe.
It's
but,
the romance part.
But one of the things as designers that we, you know, every game that we've done, we've tried to move a little bit further on to get away from the problem of, even in a high-budget video game, having love scenes that look like, and this is not a slam, this is the animation guy saying, like, please do not make us do the love scenes, because even with the best rendering and all this work, it still ends up looking like two Barbie dolls banging together. Explicit is not what you're there for in the video game. What you're there for is the Garrus head bump and the fade to black that lets you infer. It's for, you know, it's for unzipping Miranda's outfit and having the slow pan away at that. like when Miranda says, meet me in the engine room, and then she does that wink right before the door closes. That does it so much more than Barbie dolls banging together. Because we let you infer that.
And to add to that, just like, when romancing Caden and you're, I don't know, in a calm room or something, and then Joker just buzzes in right when something's about to happen, you get interrupted and have to go down to something important.
Like save the world.
Yeah, like in a galaxy. World fleet saving. Yeah, it was really frustrating, but it adds to that whole experience.
To, to finish the Fight the Reapers mini game in the dating sim that we made. Yeah.
So I know this part won't be particularly hot, but I think it follows along the whole romance idea and along the ideas of sort of the technological limitations. Why can't I romance every single person? Like, why can't I go after, like, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. Because you can't just screw everybody. I mean, you could. You shouldn't.
Because you would need about 15 discs worth of game content.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, no, I mean, it really is just a question of scope. There are some, like, nothing is technically impossible. Every character, because I could say, like, well, this character, we needed this character because in the end game they're going to be used for this. And if they're being romanced, that gives that scene an entirely different context, so they kind of have to be off by themselves and untouchable because the crit path of the plot, critical path, the main section of the game, that part of the game is using them. But you can still technically do that anyway. It just takes words. And so there, everyone, you could say, well, what about this guy? Okay, well, I don't know. He would be a completely different character if he was romance, because his whole shtick is, I'm never loving again. And you, but okay, well, you can do that. You could do that. You would just need more words. And every single problem can be solved with eventually enough words and enough time, but then the cinematic guys don't get Christmas.
and at least in Bioware games, the romance, the culmination scenes are some of the most tech-heavy, resource-heavy scenes that we make, because there are, I don't know if they're very happy or very sad mocap people that have to, you know, that we, yeah, and then there's all the resources, and everything's unique, and everything's scripted, and doing that for every character in the game is really expensive, and so
we have
budgets and time limits, unfortunately. And
now, on top of that, there's also the question of the theme. In Mass Effect 2, I can't speak to Dragon Age, but in Mass Effect 2, we really tried to split up the romances by what is the theme of each of these romances. So, Tali is the nervous, blossoming love. It's that, like, she's hesitant, it's the forbidden thing. Brandy's kind of the sexy femme fatale. And now I'm blanking. Jack. Well, okay, Jack. Well, yeah, Jack's the bad girl that you can help. And then, so all of them have their own theme. And if you said, oh, how about this person? How about this person? Well, eventually they start stepping on each other's toes, and some people just start becoming a not very good version of the other one. And you don't want to do that. You don't want the romances to feel like they're competing with each other more than everyone already assumes they are.
Well, and I think something people love about Bioware games is that they feel like it's like they're like in some kind of fantasy world or in a spaceship. So, you know, just like real life. Yeah, thank you. I'm here all week.
Yeah, thank
No, I totally lost what I was going to say. Oh, so just like real life, you know, some people just aren't going to like you.
Tom Hiddleston's not going to like me. As much as I would like to romance Loki, it's not possible.
But yeah, I mean, each character has their own arc, and each character has their own likes and dislikes, and maybe the way that you're playing the game is what they like. So it's kind of a piece of life, and I don't know if I'd want to be able to romance everyone. Maybe that's just me.
I agree with Hillary on that one, because the fact that you can't romance everybody makes that romance that you do get to have just that one more special, you know, because you bonded with someone because you're not bonding with everybody else. So I just think it makes it more special.
Right. Well, and how many choices can you really have? I mean, at a certain point, you have to stop, because choose between four really? People or eight people. I mean, really, you know, how do you even narrow that down at that point? Story of my life.
All right, just throw some jewels at it. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
So what about sort of, you made games where, you know, and there's a first game and you can sort of romance someone, and then you've gotten more games after that, and you've got to kind of continue that relationship in some fashion. How does that sort of work? Like, how is that? I mean, that takes a lot to approach.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Go.
Well, no, we've actually kind of been talking about that, and it's in relation to that kind of thing. And I think some of, you know, the audience, a lot of us started playing games when we were younger, and then we're getting older, and relationships, and sometimes kids, and, you know, you've been with people for a while. So I think just the gaming community at large is kind of getting older and is experiencing different kinds of relationships and long-term relationships. And we've had discussions about, you know, can you have a romance in a game? Because by its very nature, there has to be a gamey element to the romance. You have to give them enough things and have enough interactions to get all the points to make you go, yay, culmination scene. And, you know, it's harder because it's usually, it gets up to you have won their heart. And that's the end, and that's the win. And once you already have their heart, then what do you do? And it's kind of what you were saying, because it's real life, but not real life. And we want, how do you keep going with that? And so Tali, if anyone played the Citadel DLC, Tali's special scene was you're hanging out with her, eating popcorn, and watching this goofy old lady and singing. And there were some people who felt like Tali got shortchanged because she didn't get the romantic dance. But for those of us who have kids, we were like, that's the best night ever. We're home, and they're asleep, and I'm in my sweatpants, and
we're being goofy with each other.
We're being silly, yeah. And we're having fun, and we're singing ridiculous songs. And that's, for me, that's like, that is the perfect night. I'm going to get dressed up and go out and make cover and all of that. So it's finding some of those things that aren't just, I have won your heart, win.
Well, and it's tough because there's a very gamey, you know, it's like the heroes, it's the fall in love and then you get the girl, and then, but there are very few stories that are about a couple that's together and then stays together, except the ones where shit goes horribly wrong because one person has screwed up the relationship. And do you really want to play that? Like, is that what you, like, not many people are like, yeah, I want something where, like, we were together, and then I screwed it up.
Right.
Yeah. I really want, like, I can get that in real life. Why not play that? Like, but then on the technical side of things, I can answer this another way. On the technical side of things, one thing that we do is the players playing our game, some of them, they're not playing the game to feel sad. They're only playing the game to feel sad in certain ways. Some people want to feel sad. They're playing the game with a character who is explicitly telling you, if you romance me, there's going to be a tragedy. If you romance me, there's going to be bad times. But other players, it's like, if you romance me, it's going to be happy and light and fun. And they don't play that to be sad. So, which is why you're romancing Tali at the end of Mass 2. When Mass 3 starts, if you're not interested in romancing Tali, there are other people available, and even if you were exclusive with Tali at the end, we don't lock you into it because we understand that I, Patrick, who wrote Tali, think you should be locked into that. You made a commitment to a cute girl with a nice voice, but if you're the player who's like, oh, I don't know, I romanced Ashley in the first one and she's back in this one, so maybe I want to go back to her. We don't want that to be about drama and everyone being angry and hating each other, because again, you can have that kind of drama and unpleasantness in real life. So we tried to make that like, okay, so Tali's going to be okay and hesitant and you've been apart. And there, so there is a gamey part that is of necessity a little bit fake, so that the players who just want to go like, no, Tali's back, great, are there, but the players who, on a game perspective, like, no, I really want to move to Ashley, but I don't want Tali to hate me, can get that.
I mean, I would actually kind of love to play a game that, the first part of the game is the romance. It's like building a relationship and sort of all of that, all that fun stuff. And then maintaining a relationship is this whole secondary mechanic where the whole game changes. Like maintaining a marriage as a game would be incredible.
I would love that too. I would love starting with someone and having it just be something where it isn't the source of the drama in the game, but just being with someone. Because if you found love in real life and you're past the will they, won't they, if you're past that part, being in love with someone and having that, like, being together with someone, that's such an enormous source of strength. That's having someone you can depend on and be with and know that they're going to they're going to, like, still love you when you're all messed up.
And, okay, well, now you make me feel like a horrible bitch because I was going to say we could do a mini game where it's like...
Or a mini game!
You can add mini games. There's like, unroll your socks before you put them in the hamper. Plus three. Or we can flip it around. Be on time for anything in your life, woman. Plus 10. So.
I'd buy it. I would. I'd buy it. So one of the other things that, like, on here, and this is, I wasn't here for that meeting, for the pre-meetup before this, but this is a story from Patrick about the first time you played through Dragon Age Origins. I think before it came out, right?
This is when it came out.
This is when it came out, okay. And you were romancing a certain character.
So there's good news and bad news associated with falling in love with a video game character. It's about inference. It's about creating someone real enough that I'm willing to go the rest of the way. And I fell in love with my awesome redheaded bard. And, but there was a problem. In that I then, I got actually too, she liked me too much too soon.
Got too hot. Too
I said all the right things, but I was like, I like the maker too.
Yes, I love the maker.
Great, sweet, okay, good. And then we went off to the Brazilian forest, and I found her Andraste's Grace, and again, I was like, oh, you like the maker? Here you go. And then she started saying, we got into the in love together, curled up on the couch state, where every time I would walk up to her, I was like, I'm here for you. And but we hadn't actually kissed yet. And it was locked off, because if you get to that crazy high approval state before you've actually gotten to the nookie, you can't do the nookie. And so I had to go to Dave Gator, lead writer, and Mike, the designer, and go like, guys, did I do something wrong? I think Liliana is not, she will not kiss me. And they were like, okay, yeah, sorry, you're really an edge case, man. How did you get in so good with her so quickly? Okay, so what you have to do, I guess, is if you get disapproval with her, and then you'll drop her down to a place where she's low enough that the conversation option to get in love is still there. And I was like, so I have to, I'm negging? Yeah, Liliana. Bards are stupid. I think that's dumb, so how about...
Did that break your heart, Patrick, that you had to
it
do
did.
That?
It did. I was like, I don't want to do this. Oh, is there? I was like, can I just go in and mod it to drop the approval? Because I do not want to say this to her, because that's horrible.
How many years ago is that? We still have feels
it was
about
a few.
It.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
So what can we do better in games at this point to improve on romance in games? How can we make it more real? How can we make it more effective at this point? We haven't perfected it, I'm assuming.
I think as technology improves, you know, characters... Did you guys go to the Inquisition panel yesterday? Awesome. And you saw how gorgeous like people are rendered.
Yeah. Did you see Varric's chest hair, you guys?
So, I mean, I hate to sound so superficial because I was talking about guys with eye makeup just when the panel started. But honestly, as characters become more real and they look like how I'm looking at you right now, I think that's going to be the next step. So you already feel immersed into the game, but you're going to feel even more now. And for me, like that's really exciting. You know, obviously this for BioWare, I can speak to. I mean, I know that the story is the crux of the game, and I know that that's going to be really strong. It's adding that new layer of reality. That's pretty amazing. That's really cool. That's my answer.
What Hillary said.
I think our animation guys and the cinematic animators all over, not BioWare specific, but all over, are getting so much better that I think that's going to be an important next step. Because if you have incredible visual fidelity, but they don't move like a person, or they're a gorgeous, strong warrior woman, like a 6-foot-tall, muscular woman who moves like a 96-pound cheerleader, that's not going to come off well, and you're going to fall right into the uncanny valley. So I think having animation that gets to that point, you know, different body language and stuff that captures
facial
that
animation,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Just this slight little eye, like just things in the
yeah.
eye. That
I mean, this isn't romance specific, but I fell in love with Mass Effect the first time I played through and got Nihilus. Nihilus is doing the little neck twitch. It was like 10 minutes into the game, and I was like, holy crap! I can tell that an alien is freaking out without saying anything just because he did this. And, you know, and it's easier for aliens because you don't have a frame of reference to compare it to. So it's like, that's one of the reasons Garrus is great and Tali is great, because they're alien and they're human enough, but you've got that frame of reference that goes like, oh, okay, and you don't have an uncanny valley to fall into. And as we do it with humans, we just need, like, we need to have the animation go the rest of the distance.
No, I think part of that, it's interesting, so we're all up here kind of talking about writing. I mean, we're mostly writing perspective, but for what he said, a lot of it is the way you can tell a story without the words, and that's something that's evolved tremendously even since we've been at BioWare, is like you said, you know, instead of saying, I'm angry, you just get the eyebrow now, and it's really cool that kind of, you know, and so that's how we need to adjust the way we tell stories, not just talking about it, but showing you and you know, having it be a hologram, I'm sure. And I think that's just going to keep evolving.
And I think just to make it better would be more choices. And not more choices as in, like, if you have 10 people you can romance, but more choices from the side of, like, same-sex relationships and transgender relationships. I think, you know, we're starting to see some of that in gaming, you know, especially in BioWare games. But I think to delve even deeper and have more of these options so everyone gets a chance to be able to romance who they want to romance, or be able to experience a romance that is out of their comfort zone. You know, just more choices like that.
Absolutely. Well, I can't top that though. But I think just continuing to demand that kind of content for as a player, like, I'm always like, we need more games of romance, we need more games of romance, and they're going to make it. I'm really excited that sure they will, because we have awesome writers. No, but a lot of it is that, you know, people will make the games that people will ask for. So you guys, but we're on games too, you know, so we need to all keep passing out feedback about the kinds of things that we want to see in our games.
Well, and that's like, that's part of life, right? So if you have a game that's about life in any respect, that should be included, and you don't necessarily have to participate in it, just like in real life. But if it's available to you, I think it's always going to add a really nice layer to your experience as you play a game.
Well,
Well, and I know that we've been talking about RPGs specifically, but even outside of RPGs, one thing that I just thought of, thinking about how to fall in love with another character is that you kind of have to fall in love with your protagonist, too. So I know in a Bioware panel at the Bioware base earlier today, I think it was Patrick, he talked about Femshep having kind of masculine movements, and, you know, she had a unique, and I love Femshep. But the uniqueness of her as a character, and not just for what the things that she said or how she said them, but the way that she moved and interacted with her companions and everybody else. You know, I think as the technology evolves, I think there'll be more room for your companions or your protagonist to have their own unique thing. So, you know, even if you can't make a choice for a character, you're playing, I don't know, let's say Call of Duty, I don't know. There's no romance there. But, like, if you're playing a game where you
there
don't really
be.
Have choices.
Sure,
with a dog, maybe. Oh, wait, no. Let's edit that out. Yeah, you heard that? Okay, cool. Thanks. But, no, I think as technology grows, I'll sum it up. And just shut up. Uniqueness. There you go. That's my answer.
Cool. So I think we don't have a ton of time left, but does anybody have any sort of final comments? I might open it up to questions otherwise. All right, let's do this. There's a microphone right up front, so feel free to... Like I said, we don't have a ton of time, but we have a little bit.
So my question is...
Wait, one second.
I can almost hear myself here.
That's
okay. So, as writers of romance, especially in the video game sphere, do you feel, or do you think about, or feel any obligation to helping your gamers develop adult or intimate, sort of mature relationships? Do you feel in any way involved with, I guess, having your gamers develop those kind of skills and thought processes and being, you know, worth being in a relationship with, if that makes any sense.
So, just to make sure I understood it, the question is, do we feel a responsibility to help gamers adopt the kind of the maturity to handle adult romantic relationships?
Yes.
Good, sorry, people were talking to start.
No problem.
I think, yes, personally, I can only answer for myself, yes and no. No, in that ultimately most of our games are about choice, and some of the choice allows you to make wrong decisions. And we can't write assuming that the player doesn't know how to do anything.
Right.
I mean, although to be fair, there are people who chose to join Tom Specialist Trainer in the shower and had no idea that was a romantic liaison. She entered the shower, left the door open, in her panties talking about her hot date and how she hoped it was serious, and then the option was join her, and they were like, I was confused. Why was that a romance? And,
but that's how they learn, right?
But, yeah. You know, those are the edge. You can't write for that. You have to just assume, okay, great, if that's a problem, they reload. But at the same time, I very strongly don't want to reinforce relationships that I think are really unhealthy, or that cross the line from, yeah, that's kind of weird and not the way I would do it, but okay, to, yeah, that's going to be bad for someone. So if you make a decision in that kind of relationship, like, that's why I would never let Shepard have an abusive relationship. You know, I would argue really strongly against that. I would... Anything that got to that point where we were like, yeah, I guess Shepard could have the opportunity to be skeezy. Like, we would never even let the player be outright, you know, bad. But even at the semi-skeezy part, we tried to reinforce pretty quickly and swiftly. That was a dumb player decision. And, you know, I think we felt comfortable going that far with it.
Well, I think we have a responsibility for what we're putting out there, no matter what. And you can... I don't think that has to completely stop you from giving players bad choices or unusual choices, but I do think that, you know, it's important to put out there what you think matters for society. Like you were saying, like not having an abusive relationship, you know, empowering people and that type of thing. So I don't know if it's necessarily teaching, but also we don't necessarily have to include the really bad stuff.
And I think part of my responsibility, the things I feel, kind of what Anne was talking about, you know, I feel a responsibility to represent as many different kinds of people and choices and characters and interactions and, you know, to be able to, I was almost going to say, to be able to go try people out, but that's not really what I meant.
but
to have different experiences, right,
in
a safe space to go, okay, yeah, I don't usually like that kind of person, but let's see how this goes. And, you know, to provide those experiences in a more safe, controlled way.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I haven't played Dragon Age 2, so if this applies, I apologize in advance, but why no marriage?
Why no what?
Marriage.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. It was funny. I wasn't on Dragon Age 2. I know in Mass 3 we talked about it and tried to figure out, it ended up feeling a little weird to do it in the middle of a war. So there's always, usually, most of our games have the world ending in some fashion. And it just always seems like the wrong time to get married. And like, okay, that feels like an epilogue thing. I think in future games, I think that's absolutely something that could come up.
Well, and it's interesting, though, because marriage is also, as, you know, the current state of the world reflects, that marriage is, right now, kind of an institution for a certain group of people. And that's not necessarily something we want to impose, or, you know, at least
it has to be like an option, like
you're
like
going to have
propose.
A wedding,
yeah.
But yeah, so that long term commitment with someone to be in that relationship, yeah, I think that's something we're looking towards.
Your book had marriage,
you pretty much the ultimate ending is getting married a lot of times,
it's
double.
It is the Old Republic, that's the next point. Thank you.
I believe in Origins, you can marry an Aura.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Alice, yeah.
Oh, at the end of that?
We should just let all these other people answer, because I...
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So we only have time for one very quick question.
Oh, no.
And then, I think afterwards we maybe can answer a few things informally, but... yes.
So I have two questions, but one's just yes or no. Mostly for Patrick, do you get to decide who the romance options are in the game, or you said we need four of your characters to be romance options?
Oh, no, it's a large group decision by the whole team.
Okay, and then the
there are great meetings about who you get to bang in the games. Yeah. Like it's the best series of meetings.
The bigger question I have is, I'm just blank. Oh, while you're writing the characters, do you have a character in mind who you think is like, you know, the best fit for the protagonist? For example, my fourth playthrough through the whole trilogy for Mass Effect, I decided that I should take Liara through the whole romance because she really seemed like the best fit for Shepard, even though it killed me every time I had to turn Tali down.
Yeah, so, okay. For me, it's not so much what is the right one for the player, it's what's the right one for that playthrough. How about you? Martial artist versus drama major?
Well, I definitely had a preference when I was writing mine, but I tried to make sure that they were both, you know, viable and both interesting and make them different enough, but I totally loved Lucas more than Royce, my character. I know, she's Royce all the way.
All the way.
Pro Lucas.
So that's the funny thing, it's like when you write something and you think, oh yeah, everybody's going to pick one, they don't. They don't ever do what you think they're going to do. When you play, you completely just defy all of our expectations.
And that's part of the beauty of it.
Right.
I mean, I think for me, I'll say like, okay, well, I think the more Paragon player might be more drawn to Tali and Mass 2, and the more Renegade player might be more drawn to Miranda, but that's just me putting in, you know, I think these puzzle pieces fit better. It's really so much about what the player brings to it, and that is so much more important than what we have in terms of expectations.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank all of you for being on the panel.
And thank all of you for coming. This is great.
Yeah, so that was our Romance of Games panel. Thanks for listening. We had a lot of fun doing it, and we hope to make this kind of a regular thing at PAX. So if you're going to be at East, maybe we'll do it again.
Nice.
Let's hope so. And at Geek Girl Con as well, we have some similar content, not exactly Romance and Games, but some of the same panelists will be on the World Building panel. So that'll be a lot of fun. I believe it's on Saturday at 3 o'clock, right, Mylin?
I think so. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think that sounds right. Put me on the spot, why don't you? But we are. Yeah. We're doing a panel about building universes and world building with the Weekses and Kenna from Geek Portland. And we'll also be doing a panel about freelancing and running your own freelance business, and also the It's Not Too Dangerous to Go Alone panel again that we did at PAX.
Awesome.
PAX Prime. Sorry. Man, I always get those mixed up. Anyway. Come see our panels.
Yeah.
We're good at talking and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Exceptionally good at talking, right? What?
I think, cool. today is proof of how good we are at talking.
Right? I know.
Yes. We power through. No, but I really did love being on that panel. It's probably the favorite my most favorite panel that happened at PAX Prime this year. Wow. I'm good at talking.
Mine too. And I think it's worth noting that actually that panel filled up. They turned people away. We estimated the room held about 400, and not everybody who showed up got in. They were lining up at least an hour ahead of time, which really surprised us. And we thought that was so great to have people who are that interested in this topic. We think it's something that people don't talk a lot about. They talk a lot about sex and games, but not so much about romance. And I think that, you know, if you talk that the romance aspect is something that is getting a lot more attention these days from developers, because they know that people want to have emotional attachments to their games. So
I also like it, because having been to both of them now, the panels kind of shift in content. It's not like you're doing the same topics each time you do the panel. And also with the guests, it kind of shifts a little bit what you guys talk about. Everything kind of was different from the first one to the second one. And gosh darn it, if the Weeks is, as you said, aren't adorable throughout the entire panel.
They're amazing.
Their banter back and forth is 100% hilarious the whole time. So.
Yeah.
They're just like that.
Yeah.
Just normally. They are just that cute and sweet and awesome all the time.
Genuine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And something cool that happened after the panel is that we had so many people come up to us and ask questions and want to dive into the topic even further with their own, you know, experience in playing games and whatnot, that they opened up a room after our panel just so that there was a room with people who appreciate the art of games and the art of storytelling, that everybody just kind of like hung out after the panel. It was such a cool experience. And I really hope that next year at PAX East, and maybe PAX Prime, we can do something similar, because I think a lot of people have opinions on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was cool. It was great. Absolutely. Everyone hung out for like another half an hour and just asked questions and took some pictures. It was good.
Yeah, I think that's part of what inspired Hillary and I to try to start our own thing too, is that we realized that we need a forum that's not just at the cons to talk about stuff that we feel like we really want to talk about, and we think other people want to talk about it too, and maybe topics that aren't really being covered in a greater forum normally.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, we were glad to be able to bring that to everybody. So I hope everybody enjoys it, and definitely go check out Anna and Melissa's podcast, Reset Transmission, and check out BioWare, because I'm sure you haven't yet with
Who's that?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
And Strange Loves. There's so many things to promote from this panel. Check it all out, because it's all great.
Firehose Games.
Yeah. See? I'm going to forget something every time.
Download something soon called Let's Quit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tweet me if you want an invite. It's a game that Sean Baptiste did, and it's an alpha right now. It's so fun.
Yes. Yeah. Let's quip. That's cool.
Yeah. It's you have to make jokes in 140 characters or less, and then people judge who's funnier.
It's wonderful.
That's funny. I like it. Cool.
So let's do some football.
Do
Yeah. Well, I'm winning, right?
Well, first we'll do a quick update on the Nerd Appropriate Fantasy Football League. Top three this week. Karen Weeks moved into position number one, Beholder the Glory, passing up Ryan's Serious Business. And in third place, a newcomer to the top three, Rex's Warriors, which I believe is Chris, eChap33 on Twitter, if I remember correctly.
Nice.
Cool. So, yes. And then there was some serious smack talk between Nate from Press.
We're in New Zealand all of a sudden.
And Karen. They played each other this week and have been smack talking all week long on Twitter. And it's been pretty hilarious. So that is the quick fantasy football update. And we'll go straight into the Naples, the Nerd Appropriate Pick'em League between Ash and Hillary. Last week, we had a couple split games. We had the Cardinals versus the Buccaneers. You guys split on your decisions there. We had the Bengals versus the Browns and the Dolphins versus the Saints. First game, Cardinals versus Buccaneers. The winner was the Arizona, not St. Louis, Cardinals.
Damn
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who can't win a game to save their damn lives. So that Hillary took that game. She picked Cardinals. Ash picked Buccaneers. Next game was Bengals versus the Browns. Ash picked the Browns.
Of course.
He loves poop. And he hates Tigers.
Yes.
No, that was so funny last week when you were like, we all get a bit of the Browns.
I also particularly enjoy that he hates their costumes. Uniforms. Uniforms.
They're ridiculous.
That was so funny.
Hillary went with the Bengals, and the winner of that game was the Browns.
Always bet on Brown.
Always bet on Brown. Browns will win in the end. That was a twofer. So you guys were split, and then the last game you picked the same, the Dolphins versus the Saints. You guys both took the Saints, and the Saints absolutely killed the Dolphins. So you are still
tied
at this point. But we're going to see what happens after this week. So the first game this week, Monday night game, New York Jets versus the Atlanta Falcons. Hillary.
The New York Jets, they train in Jersey, don't they?
The secret is both New York teams play and train at the same stadium in Jersey.
What?
Yeah. There is no actual New York football team in New York City. Other than like if you go upstate to Buffalo and stuff.
So I'm going to pick the Jersey Jets. The New York Jets, but the Jersey Jets.
All right.
Because my husband's from Jersey. Mm. Even though he likes the Giants.
Is he from the Jersey Shore?
He is not from the Jersey Shore.
Damn. I'm going to go obviously with the Falcons because I've always wanted to be a Falconer.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, I go.
I always kind of wanted to wear that big oven mitt and have a bird land on my oven mitt.
Big love. We actually have friends that are Falconers, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
That's weird. Maylin, do you want to be in on this action? You're just going to hang out?
I could totally pick. Let's see. So what are the two again? Because I was completely not paying attention. that's why you talked to me, isn't it? I'm like, football.
Jets versus the Falcons.
Well, see, okay, so if you had a Falcon and you had a Jet.
Right.
Oh, man, the Jet would win.
A Falcon could, like, it's sucked up into a Jet's engines. The Jet clearly wins.
But what if the Falcon hits the cockpit and then the pilot dies?
No, because it's not going to do that because they can't get through that glass. That glass is like withstands everything.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So I'm totally going with Jets because Jets will beat Falcons.
Got it.
Any day of the week.
Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. This next matchup, we've got the Seahawks versus the Colts. Ash, you want to go first on this one?
Seahawks versus the Colts.
If you're Googling, I will be mad at you.
No, I'm not.
You can see him on video. Now, the Seahawks are from Seattle.
Okay.
And the Colts.
Where the Pax happens.
Colts are from
Indianapolis.
Oh, man. I'm going to go for the Seahawks. keeping with my bird theme. My bird theme. I can just keep my glove on.
All right.
Indianapolis. I've been to Indianapolis.
Okay.
So I've been to Seattle too.
You have.
I'm gonna pick the Colts to keep it fresh, and I like their logo because it means lucky.
It does. It's a horseshoe. You are
horseshoe. Correct.
Mylin.
Okay. Well, I mean, clearly, the Seahawks have an advantage over the Colts because they have the air, like the high vantage point.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they could like drop things on the horses or like I don't know, pour boiling oil on them or something.
Sorry, right. Feathers.
Whatever, that would be amazing because they would
Wouldn't
have
it be
feathers.
Sadistic like, if they tarred and feathered like a Seahawk dropping. Would they rip the feathers off another bird and then drop them?
No, this they have weird. They have feathers full out all the time. If they just like save
yeah,
them,
yeah, they just like shake their
would.
Wing a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, it's their own. It's like what they just shed.
Yeah.
For no reason.
They shed it, so they keep it. Because, like, wouldn't you keep feathers if you had feathers falling off you when you hold on to
them? It felt like a weirdly cannibalistic thing there for a second. I didn't know what was going on.
No.
Like feeding
the
chicken nuggets or something.
No.
Do you know? No, my mom has a parrot, a cockatoo.
I did not know.
No, and you need to feed it chicken. And I'm not even playing.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it eats chicken.
Cannibal
is it
cockatoo.
Is the chicken still alive? Like how they feed still alive?
Oh, what?
Yeah, because my mom's well, gonna feed a parrot a live chicken.
All right. See, well,
they do that with like
Colts.
Snakes eat live stuff.
We're
like,
going
why
somewhere
why?
Real dark wow. right now, guys. Seahawks versus Colts. Your answer is Seahawks.
Seahawks, absolutely. Right. Sure. Aerial advantage.
They do have a cooler costume than the Colts. So
they do. Their costumes are better.
And then the game of the week. One of these teams is Karen Week's favorite team. I will say that.
It's probably my favorite team, too.
This is the game of the week. The Denver Broncos versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Two horses. What am I going to do? No, actually,
they're
horses and
horses.
Cowboys. Right.
Wow.
Cowboys totally beat horses.
All right, Mylin. How about you
pick
first?
Yeah. Just go for it, Mylin.
I'm sorry. Did I break some sort of like hard and fast rule of this?
What?
What is this called again?
Why are you getting
angry? Horror.
Wait, why is there anger all of a sudden? I said go first.
Yeah, but there was an undertone there.
There wasn't an undertone. You want to hear undertone? I'll give you undertone like I'm doing right now.
Whoa.
Pick a team.
You know what? Football is supposed to be fun, you guys.
I know.
Is it?
All it does is cause Alzheimer's and horrible dementia in players.
Well,
anyways.
Not playing it.
No, just pay other people to do that for you.
Yeah, the Cowboys totally beat horses.
Cowboys, okay.
Although, wait. I have to take that back. Because I'm from D.C. We are supposed to hate the Cowboys.
You kind of are, yeah. And Broncos are technically like unbroken horses, right? So
that's
Cowboys.
True. So like a Cowboy couldn't even ride a Bronco because it's bucking.
That's what I hear.
Yep. Change my name to Broncos.
All right.
Name?
Hillary. What name are you going to choose, Hillary?
I'm going to pick the team that's called the Broncos because, again, I'm not a big fan of the Texas area.
All right.
I'm going to pick Denver, too. Sorry.
Oh, man. See,
I actually really like Denver. I think Denver's a great city.
Wow.
You know, it's the Mile High City.
Really?
Did you know?
Yeah. do.
Oh, all right, boy. So that is the pickup. We'll go over it next week, see who won. Well, that's episode 123, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find us on Twitter at @nerdappropriate, on Facebook @nerdappropriate, or you can email each and every one of us, Matt, Scott, Hillary with one L, or ash@nerdappropriate.com. Mylin, where can they find you? And would you like to promote anything?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @MylinB. That's MIELLYNB. And buy my game book if you haven't already, which is called Strange Love's Vampire Boyfriends.
Yeah. And then there's another one out, right?
Yep. Strange Love's Hex Boyfriends.
Fantastic.
All sorts of good game book fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mylan, for being here, and thank you for letting us air the Romance and Games panel.
Thank you for having me. It's fun.
Hopefully everybody enjoys it. And thanks, Monday, for being the day that we recorded, which is not at all weird or making this podcast awkward.
We are not crazy and awkward. No.
Wow.
Ash, take a nap. Everybody else, I'll see you later.
Yep.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Scott will be back next week, we promise.
We miss you, Scott.
So much.
I could put my name on this, you guys.
None of this is going in the podcast, probably.